Okay. Isaiah chapter 39, starting with verse 1. And it reads, "At that time, Merodach Baladan, son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent Hezekiah letters and a gift, because he had heard of his illness and recovery. Hezekiah received the envoys gladly and showed them what was in his storehouses, the silver, the gold, the spices, the fine oil, his entire armory and everything found among his treasures. There was nothing in his palace or in all his kingdom that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and asked, 'What did those men say and where did they come from?' 'From a distant land,' Hezekiah replied. 'They came to me from Babylon.' The prophet asked, 'What did they see in your palace?' 'They saw everything in my palace,' Hezekiah said. 'There was nothing among my treasures that I did not show them.' Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, 'Hear the word of the Lord Almighty. The time will surely come when everything in your palace and all your fathers have stored up until this day will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord. And some of your descendants, your own flesh and blood, will be born to you, will be taken away, and they will become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon.' The word of the Lord you have spoken is good," Hezekiah replied. For he thought, "There will be peace and security in my lifetime." Let's pray. Father God, we come before you and we thank you that your word is true, that's right, and that we can learn from it day by day. And that it's as fresh today as it was the day that you first spoke it. Lord, we ask that you would reveal yourself to us through this word this morning. Lord, I pray for your anointing to be upon me, that as I preach your word, I might speak it forth in power and in truth. And that it would touch the hearts and the minds of each person here, each person who hears this word, that they would be encouraged and drawn closer to you. Lord, that nothing that I say would not be of you. Father, let your word stand forth in power. Might it change us and be lived out in our lives. Now, Lord, let your people here know you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, remember last couple weeks ago, Hezekiah was sick. He was at the point of death. He had these nasty boils on his body. He was in pain. And he was going to die. He turned his face to the wall and he cried out to God. And God heard his prayer. He said he'd have 15 more years. Well, the king of Babylon, this far off land. Remember, Babylon is not yet the big bad boy on the block. Assyria is the ascendant kingdom. They're the ones who've got power. They're the ones who everybody's afraid of right now. And here it is. This guy from this far off land, this envoy shows up with letters and a gift. Well, Hezekiah is just so pleased. He just invites him in. Doesn't know these people from who. And he shows them everything. Everything. That's stupid. Somebody you don't know shows up at your house and says, "Oh, I heard you're sick. Here's a box of chocolates. Oh, come on in. Let me show you all my good stuff. Look over here. See, this is where I hide my money for emergencies. It's good stuff here. And then over here, this is my favorite box of Kleenex. You know, it doesn't look like much, but actually underneath in the bottom, I've got a secret compartment. It's got some jewels. Okay? And then over here, these are my beautiful instruments. These are heirlooms. They may not look like much, but actually they're very, 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 very valuable. If you didn't know, you wouldn't realize just how important these things are. And he went through and he showed them everything throughout the palace, in the temple, throughout his kingdom, he said. Everything he had of value. Now, would you do that if somebody shows up at your house? Hezekiah did it. He let him in. He didn't know him. He didn't have a relationship with him. Now, I've had people who've done that to me in their life. People who have come to know me to a certain point where they take me and they show me, okay, this is where my valuable stuff is. Why are you showing me? Because I think you need to know. Okay. Why'd they tell me? Because they figured they could trust me. Because they thought there was a reason that I needed to know this. Hezekiah didn't do that. He said, he's bragging. Look what I got. This is good stuff. Okay. Bad people call this casing the joint. Okay. They're looking in, figuring out where's all the good stuff. A good robber, a good burglar, a good crook just doesn't walk into some place and then start looking for the stuff. See, we had really bad burglars that came here a couple years ago, broke into the church on Christmas Eve. They figured that we had took a big offering. Well, we know better than that, right? And they also tried to break into things, and they broke doors. They broke into things, but they didn't know what they were looking for. They didn't know what they were doing. They tried to break into the pop machine. There used to be a pop machine. They broke the pop machine. We didn't get it repaired. We had it removed after that. But they did, however, go on my desk, and in the desk, in the drawer, was a key with a big tag on it that said Pepsi on it. They didn't see the key. They could have just taken the key and gone and unlocked the pop machine. Instead, they tried to break in. They spent a whole bunch of time. They weren't smart burglars. Okay, these guys from Babylon, they're just high-powered burglars. They're coming in with their armies, going in and plundering. They sent their envoys out to learn who has the good stuff. Where is it worth our time to go look for it? And we want to find out the list so that when we do show up, we say, bring all your stuff out, and somebody brings stuff out. You're holding back the good stuff. We know that you got it. See, well, how do you know that I have that? We have our ways. The king showed them. That was their source. They're looking to get money and power and valuables, artwork. The most beautiful things. Why? Because they coveted it. We're not supposed to covet our neighbor's stuff, are we? But they did. That's what Babylon did. He thought, they're far away. They could never hurt me. And he's right. He was right. They never did hurt him. But look at the word of the Lord that came through Isaiah to Hezekiah. Hear the word of the Lord Almighty. The time will surely come when everything in your palace and all your fathers have stored up until this day will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord. And some of your descendants, your own flesh and blood, who will be born to you, will be taken away, and they will become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. The word of the Lord your God has spoken. It's good, Hezekiah replied. For he thought. Why did he say, that's a good word. There'll be peace and security in my lifetime. It's not my problem. This was a word of rebuke against Hezekiah. And instead of seeing that, he says, oh, okay. No skin off my nose. It's not my problem. People, this is not supposed to be the attitude we are to have. Sometimes our actions have negative impacts on others. Because Hezekiah had welcomed in somebody who should not have been welcomed in, and showed him things that they shouldn't ought to have seen. Now they knew what was there. And now there was no chance for God's people to hide those things which were precious of God. The Ark of the Covenant and all the stuff that wasn't there. He told them all about it. The stuff that he could actually see, showed them. But you don't think he didn't tell them? Oh, you know, it, behind that curtain over there, that's where the good stuff is. Oh, really? We can't go back there because only... But you know what's back there? He didn't withhold anything from them, he said. He told them all about it. He was bragging on it. Well, okay, we're not supposed to do that. But it didn't hurt him. It did, however, hurt his descendants. His children. His country. His nation. You know what? I've been to Israel. I looked around. If all I had seen was the outside of some of those places, I'd have said, there's nothing here. I got rocks. They grow rocks here. But he went into a couple of the places and they had beautiful mosaic tiles on the floor. These beautiful baths. They had did some wonderful, wonderful artwork. Some beautiful places. And someone said, oh, hey, this place looked kind of rough from the outside, but boy, you get in here, it's got some nice stuff. Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. You know, I bet I could have some guys dig that up. We could haul it back and put it in my own bathroom. Back home. Get my shopping list going. Who are we letting into our lives? How are we acting like Hezekiah? Where are we not being diligent or thinking about what we're showing them, where we're allowing them access? TV is a great example. People lock their doors and whatever. Then they turn on the computer or turn on the TV and let all this crap. I probably shouldn't have said that. Literally, junk. Because they're not filtering it. They're not protecting it. They're not protecting themselves. And they allow it to come in and have run. All over their life, let into every part. Look at this. This is my most private part. I'm going to let you in here. Well, who are you letting? The problem may not come to roost right now, but down the road, it brings a problem. Some of the things that were done 10, 20, 30 years ago didn't seem to have much of an impact until you get 10, 20, 30 years down the road, and then you all see, wow, look. Well, Roe versus Wade. Look at the millions and millions of children that have been killed because of one little... And the woman who was involved with that has since repented, but she can't go back and say, hey, I changed my mind. I don't think... I was wrong. She has done that. Guess what? The courts say, doesn't matter. An action affects others. We don't know. We don't know how it's going to affect others. So we need to be diligent in how we behave. Recognizing that we're not the only ones who have to pay the consequences for our actions. Sometimes the consequences don't come to rest on us. We like to say, especially in America, I'm an individual. I have my rights. I can do what I want. It doesn't hurt anybody else. Wrong. Your actions do impact others. Even if it's happening in the privacy of your own home. After all, King Hezekiah brought in people into the privacy of his own home. His home just happened to be the palace. And because of what they saw, conquering armies came. And his descendants were made into eunuchs. I don't know about you, but I would consider that to be a negative consequence. I'm not interested in being a eunuch. You know what? I don't want my children or grandchildren to become eunuchs either. But Hezekiah said, oh, that's okay. It's not my problem. It's a good thing. I'll let others worry about it. That's not the godly attitude. He should have fallen on his knees and torn his cloak and said, woe is me for what I've done. And asked for the Lord's forgiveness, because when he did that for his illness, when he did turn to the Lord, God relented from his judgment. Hezekiah didn't turn at all. He didn't repent. That he had shown those things which were holy and should have been kept private to people who shouldn't have had access to it. Now, how do we determine who's supposed to have access? Well, first, you got to get to know them. You just don't let strangers in. You got to find their character. Are they godly? Do they hold Christ as Lord and Savior? Do they hold up God's Word as being the truth? And this is the final arbitrator here on this earth of what God's will is, not man's reason, not what seems good to me today. That's the type of criteria that we're supposed to be using before we bring people into those secret places, show them the best things. That's why with young men and women, tell them, hey, if you're both not Christian, you should not even think of dating. Only somebody who's a fellow Christian is partner material. You don't get somebody and fix them up. Okay, spouses are not fix them up projects. You get what you get. Okay? I hear giggles from previously, hopefully, satisfied customers of my pastor's premarital counseling course. Here we are looking at Hezekiah, and we look at him and say, Hezekiah, what a fool. But Hezekiah says, well, I really wasn't a fool. It didn't hurt me at all. I got a nice present out of the deal. It didn't hurt him, but it did hurt others. And as a king, especially, his concern should not ought to be just for himself, but our concern is to be for others. And this was where Hezekiah dropped the ball. We don't want to be like Hezekiah in that way. We want to be fair in our judgment. We want to only let those people in that should be there. We need to guard those things which are precious, as if they are precious. What are those things which are truly precious? It's really not money. It's really not stuff. But it's our hearts, our minds, our souls, our friends, our family. This is what we need to be guarding. Because our actions don't impact just us. My actions have a consequence on you. The actions of others have consequences on us. And your actions have consequences on me. We don't live insulated and cocooned so that our actions only impact ourselves. We need to recognize that we do live in a society, in a world where everything is interconnected. What we do does impact others. We may not see it today. We may not even see it tomorrow. But the consequence will come. And it's a terrible, terrible consequence. Everything of value is carried off here. everything. And even that which is of most value, his descendants. His descendants are made eunuchs. Not going to get many more descendants if they all become eunuchs. Kind of stops that progression, doesn't it? That's one of the reasons why king's kids were made eunuchs. Didn't want to have any more of that bloodline hanging around because they might cause trouble. So consider what it is that we do. We don't live in a glass bubble. Our actions impact others. Others' actions impact us, even if it's out of our sight. Contemplate that. See what the Lord has said here. He will bring judgment against it. We need to. It's not good just if we can avoid any penalty for ourselves. We don't want any penalty, at least I don't want any penalty of my actions to fall on anybody else. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we do thank you. This word today, which is kind of a difficult one. Lord, we need to be aware. We need to recognize that our actions of today might hurt somebody tomorrow or next week or years down the road. Something which was just thoughtless today. Just because I wasn't vigilant today, I could hurt somebody years from now. Lord, protect us from this. And Lord, when we see our error, when our errors are brought before us, might we not be like Hezekiah, who says, it is good because I don't have to face the penalty. But instead, Lord, might we fall to our knees brokenhearted and just seeking your forgiveness, saying, Lord, I'm sorry I was not diligent in following you and your ways, Lord. Help us now. May your judgment be taken away from those who would suffer because of my ill fortune. Because I was stupid. Because I was thoughtless. Lord, help me to hold tight that which is precious. Your word. Let it not be taken from me. Your truth, might I receive it and know it. Your Holy Spirit, Lord, we thank you for the gifts of salvation and forgiveness that you've provided. Lord, might none be able to take them away from us. That we not provide our enemies with the means to do that through our own thoughtless behavior for ourselves or for others. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.